We're going to be talking tonight about your assignment. Is that all right? What's your call? So I just wanted to start with this story of myself in Walmart one time. I had listened to this message from Joyce Meyer, and in it at some point, I can't remember, it was a long time ago, she said something about shopping at the grocery store, and I mean at the clothing store, and you're going through the clothes, and you drop one off the hanger, and she's just talking about righteousness and just being a Christian, you know, acting like Christ. She's like, well, the Christ-like thing to do is to pick the shirt up off the hanger and put it back on the rack, you know, because I mean sometimes we don't. We just, oh, well, let's just move on. Or I'll like a shirt, drop it on the ground, and move to another rack. I mean, I've never done that, but some people maybe. Anyway, so she was talking about that, and she's like, and for those of you that are really righteous, you may even pick up a shirt that you didn't even knock down. So anyways, thinking about that, the next time I was at Walmart, I remember I was going through, some clothes, looking, and I dropped a shirt off a hanger, and I was like, I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to put this thing back on the hanger. Yes, I'm going to do it. And then that, I saw one, you know, over there, and I was like, well, I'll go ahead and pick it up too. And then I go to this other rack. There's a whole pile of them on the floor. I'm like, well, just thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to be like you. And I'm just, 20 minutes later, I have found myself walking through the clothing department at Walmart. I am not lying. And all of a sudden, Holy Ghost said, stop. That is someone's job. And I was like, I didn't even like, oh, wait, what am I doing? Like, I don't even work here. Like, I got so caught up in just being like Jesus. It wasn't anything that Jesus said to ever do. Maybe if he gave me that call, I wake up in the morning, Jesus says, I want you to go to Walmart, and I want you to spend half an hour doing someone else's job. Then, okay, I'll go do that. But I had no word. I was just going off a message. Now, was she wrong? No. Just do something. But if it's not your assignment. So that's where I'm going tonight, all right? If you find yourself maybe picking up a whole load of clothes, that's somebody else's job, all right? Do your job. Psalm 37:23, he orders our steps, right? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Do your job. Know your assignment and do it. We all have one. You have an assignment. It is yours. It is your call. It is your job. It's got your DNA all over it. It's what he called you to do. Know it and do it. Do your job. Do your assignment. He orders our steps. He tells us what to do. He wants for us to go to a certain place. He wants for us to go down a certain path. He orders our steps. He has no desire to say, good luck today. He isn't, oh, good morning, God, I love you. What you got for me today? I don't know, but let's see what happens. He's not going to do that. No, he orders our steps. He orders us. He's faithful. He's faithful. Now, sometimes we do jobs that aren't ours. So let's talk about why. There's a few things that are usual suspects. Number one, why was I picking up clothes in Walmart? It starts with a big G, guilt. Why was I doing that? I felt guilty. I felt guilty for not doing the right thing in that moment. But here's the thing. That literally was somebody's job. Somebody actually got paid that day to do that. That was their job. That was their assignment. Go to the clothing department. I'm telling you, somebody that day was happy. I need you to go clean up the women's department and the men's and the children's. I need you to go clean those clothing departments up. And they walked to their job and they were like, hot dog, somebody done did it. And they probably had a hurly break. Or I don't know, maybe they just twiddled around because I had done their job. Or at least 20 minutes worth. Which doesn't take that long to put a shirt on a hanger. I did a lot. I felt good about myself. Like, I'm so righteous. Yes. And Jesus is like, go. Stop. Not your job. Out of guilt, that's a good reason why people won't do or will do an assignment that is not their own. They feel guilty. Some of us are really good about doing things that we see need to be done, and the person who's supposed to be doing it's not doing it. That does not become a calling card for you. That does not become your assignment because the person who's supposed to be doing it isn't doing it. Number two, a big O, obligation. Feel obligated. I feel guilty if nobody's helping them out. I read something that I thought was really great last week. A pastor posted, you'll wear out trying to do what you're not called to do. You might be completely wore out because you're doing someone else's job. You might be completely feeling you have nothing left to devote what God has called you to. And it might be, you got to ask yourself, am I doing something that he has not called me to? It maybe if they're wearing you out, they're not your assignment. Even people. Do you feel drained? I mean, majorly drained, and not like the good, holy kind of drained after a worship service that was amazing. Not that kind of drained, but just demonic drained. You know what I mean? We're just like, oh, just feel gross. They're probably not your assignment. It's okay to not answer that phone call. Like, what? That may not be righteous. No. It is righteous. Because righteousness means right standing with God. And my job is to be obedient and right standing with God. If I call you, answer, but I'm just saying, if somebody, I'm kidding, you know who I'm talking about. And if it's me, don't answer. I get it. But those people that just drain you. Now, there's someone's assignment. Somebody out there has been gifted with an ability to love like crazy for that person. But if you feel that way at the end of a phone call and you just think to yourself, you know, if they maybe didn't live till tomorrow, I'd be okay. They're not your assignment. Quit loving them because you're not doing a good job of it anyways, okay? You're laughing because you're like, oh my gosh, she's reading my mail. I may have thought that before. Not now, but long time ago before y'all were all saved. I know. Those things are not justifications. Guilt and obligation is not a justification. That's not a reason to get outside of the will of God. It's not a reason to do a job that's not yours. It's not a reason to take an assignment you were not given. What happens in the military if you grab a hold of an assignment you weren't given? I don't know. I wasn't in it, but I imagine there are repercussions. But it needs to be done. Somebody's got to do it. They will. There's nothing wrong with going above and beyond if your job is complete. There's nothing wrong with it if your job is complete. Otherwise, you're stealing time from your own assignment. You cannot go above and beyond what is incomplete. If you have a job to do, you've been given a task, you've been given something to accomplish, and you got distracted and you are doing something amazing, you feel like, man, I'm just going to go above and beyond for that. I'm going to do way more than even I was asked to. If your original assignment is not done, that's not above and beyond, because you can't go above what's not complete. You got to finish what you were given. You got to finish the task you were given. Then, when that's done, if you want to do something else and you still have energy, that's above and beyond. I saw a video clip that was so true. I should have got it ready. Maybe not. There might have been some language in it. I can't remember. But she's a Christian comedian, but she slips sometimes. But she, it was just a mom running through the house, and she walked into the kitchen, and she goes, I've got to come in here and put all these loads of laundry up. So she goes in there, and she starts gathering everything up, and she moves it. She's like, oh, well, now she gets to the laundry room. She's like, I can't do this. The laundry room's messy. So she goes and gets a broom and comes back in to sweep it. And she's like, I can't sweep this. Can't find my dustpan. Now, you know, an hour later, 4 or 5 hours later, she's done walked through every time she walks into a room, she forgets and finds something else to do. And then at the end of the day, her husband walks in and is like, what have you done all day? She's like, what are you talking about? And then you look around, nothing is done. But because it's just finding an assignment and doing it, but you get distracted, right? Above and beyond is when you finish your assignment and then you do something else. You need to be where he has ordered your steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him in his hands. There's nothing wrong with going above and beyond. Once your assignment is done, don't justify it. Well, I just feel guilty. That thing's not getting taken care of. That's one thing I love about our pastors. They say, we refuse to be need-based. We refuse to be need-based. That's not us. We're not going to put somebody where God has not told them to be. Now, are there occasions? Sure, yes. Just flow with us a little bit with that. Yes, there are occasions we need somebody to do something for a moment. But we're not going to say, hey, hang out there for 6 months until we figure, you know, that we're not going to do that. We're not need-based. We got to figure out where God has you, and that's where you are going to be. Because wherever God's plans are, whatever his steps are, they're ordered by him. So that's where it's going to flow the best. That's where it's going to work the best. Let's turn to 1 Kings 17. 17, 1 Kings. We'll read 1 through 7. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So God gave Elijah an assignment. He said, go tell Ahab it's not going to rain for a long time. So then he told him, go over here. I commanded the ravens to feed you. You can drink from the brook. So he went there and he did according to what the Lord told him. He stayed by the brook. They brought him bread and meat in the morning, in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Now, man, I'm just going to get through it. This excites me. What has God commanded you to do? He gave Elijah an assignment, but somebody else had an assignment. Who? Who else got an assignment? The ravens. This may be an old message, maybe, but to me it was brand new, and it just came alive. Elijah can obey his call all day long, but if the ravens aren't obedient, then the man of God doesn't prosper. What has God commanded for you? What has God commanded for you? When you don't walk in your calling, when you don't walk in your purpose and your assignment, you may be affecting someone else's destiny. Elijah does not eat way out there away from Ahab. Elijah does not eat unless the ravens are obedient. It only works if they are obedient. Now, some of you are some ravens, and there are things that you have neglected to bring meat to. There are things you have neglected to be like, well, I want to do that, though. I want to be there, though. That's what I want to do. But your job right now might be just to go nourish a man of God, or to go nourish a woman of God. Maybe to go bring just a word of encouragement to that lady in the checkout. Why? Because you don't know the world she may change later that day, because you chose to say, you look beautiful. So maybe she won't go home that night and kill herself. And then maybe the next day she will get saved. And then maybe the next day she will lead revival into her church. And then maybe the next day or the next few weeks, revival will sweep over her city. And next thing we know, she's on Fox News, and they're talking about how this crazy thing has happened with this lady. Why? Because a raven chose to bring her meat in the checkout line. Do not forget that you are that. And yes, may God give us a word that will deliver nations. Sure, absolutely. Elijah does not get to the widow who's next, who just happened to be at her place at the right time, doing her assignment as a mother, picking sticks, getting ready for her last meal. If she could have said, hey, look, I did what I could, dude. Talking to her son. I tried. There's not enough to even feed us anymore. You got today. We're just going to die. No, but as a mother, she was like, we can do one more meal with what we got. I'm going to go get some sticks. So Elijah sees her. That happens next. But none of that ever happens if the ravens don't obey. Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. There are plenty of you that God has given a great call to, and he's commanded ravens to feed you there. And even in that sense, you might need to trust a little bit that if he's asking you to do something pretty big, he's got the ravens feeding you there. Does it make sense? Does it really? Does it make sense to be like, okay, God, I'm going to uproot my entire life and bring it over here and trust that some birds are going to bring me some meat? Does that make sense? No. Like, we can't even trust that. You know, sometimes I don't know how I'm going to pay my light bill next month, and I'm whatever I'm doing to get pawning a guitar or whatever, you know, I don't know. But no, God just says, no, I got this. You go here. He says, get away from here. Go by the brook. I have commanded ravens to feed you. Oh, man, is that kind of faith inside of us? Is that kind of trust inside of us to be like, okay, Jesus, let's do this. I'm going to go sit by that brook, and I'm going to drink out of it, and I'm going to trust that you are going to feed me. When you neglect a command, you could be affecting another's destiny. Do what God asks you to do. Do your job. Do your assignment. Will God's purpose prevail? What if somebody doesn't do their assignment? It happens a lot. It happens with us. It happens with others. Will it prevail? Well, Isaiah 14:24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have purposed, so it will be. As I have planned it, so it will happen. Yes, the Lord's purpose will prevail. Maybe the ravens don't show up. You still do what God asks you to do. If you are a raven in that season, if you are a raven in that day, you bring the meat where he told you to bring it, whether it makes sense or not. If you are an Elijah in that day, you go there, whether it makes sense or not. The Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have purposed, so it will be. Then in 14:27, the Lord of hosts himself has planned it. Therefore, who can stand in its way? If God says, no, I've planned this out. I know you don't know how it's going to go, but I've planned this out. Who's going to stand in my, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of angel armies has planned it out. Who are the Lord of angel armies? Think about that. Consider that. Angel armies. He's planned it out. Who's going to stand in his way? Who would want to? But why do I? The Lord of angel armies. And I just get in front of him. I'd be like, well, hold up, God. I'm not going to do that because I don't know how. Not going to jump on that train. Doesn't make sense to me. But I do that. Which it sounds crazy. Who's going to stand in his way? No one. How do I know my assignment? How do I know? You say, well, okay, Jamie. I'm just going to do it. But I don't know what it is. He speaks. He'll tell you. Ask him. What am I supposed to be doing right now, God? He speaks. Know his voice. Let's turn to Isaiah 58. I'm going to read this out of passion. What is my assignment? As I have purposed, so it will be. As I have planned it, so it will happen. I have to get myself to position to know that every single day I need to ask, what do you want me to do today, God? I have to be okay with that, or life won't work. I have to be okay with that. I have to be okay with it. Proverbs says over and over, a man has plans in his heart, but the Lord orders his steps. It says it several times in different ways, the same thing. But tell God, you want me to be prepared. You want me to have a plan. Oh, he wants you to have a plan, but he also wants you to be okay for him to mess it up. Does that make sense? No. but he's God. Yes, have a plan. Have an idea of what you're going to do that day. But also be completely okay with God saying, but I want you to do this. Pull off into there. Well, I don't want to go to Taco Bell. God, why? Just go to Taco Bell. There's a reason. I'm just trying to eat better, God. I know that must not be God because he don't want me to have beans. I know that's not God. If you know Jesus' voice, then you can't say, that's not you. My daughter can never say, my son can never say, no, that wasn't my mom. No, they know my voice. Even more so, they know his. And when Dad says, hey, everything I just said all day long was spoken. And hey. And it's very refreshing and frustrating at the same time. Hey. Like, that's what I've been saying all day long. Yes, sir. Go to Taco Bell. Yes, sir. He speaks. He speaks. Verse 11 of Isaiah 58. Yahweh will always guide you where to go and what to do. He will fill you with refreshment even when you are in a dry, difficult place. He will continually restore strength to you so you will flourish like a well-watered garden and like an ever-flowing, trustworthy spring of blessing. Yahweh will always guide you where to go and what to do. He has no desire to make you guess. There's no verse that says he's going to make you guess. Make you wait? Oh, yeah. But make you guess? Nope. Make you dibble and dabble in every little thing? Just trying to figure out what he wants. No, he will speak. It says he will always guide you where to go and what to do, even when you are in a dry and difficult place. This hurts right now. This is dry right now. It's difficult right now. I know you can see it, God. It's dry right now. It's difficult right now, but he will always guide you at what to do. If you are absolutely unsure of what to do, refresh yourself on his voice. Refresh yourself on what he sounds like. Read the Bible. Get into worship. Pray. Listen to him. Get alone. Put earplugs in where you can hear nothing else. Turn off the TV. Get off your phone. Refresh yourself on his voice. Refresh yourself. He speaks. Listen to his voice. I hear God's voice, but how do I really know that's the right call? Here's a couple of things you can do. A couple of things you can ask yourself. Do I feel made for it? When you put your hands to something and you put a task to it, do you do it and you just, man, I was made for this? That might be your calling. It might be an assignment. Here's number two of that. Is there confusion? Not God. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Confusion, he didn't write that book. He is not the author of confusion. If you're confused, that is an immediate answer because the word says he is not an author of confusion. So you ask yourself, God, am I confused because of voices or am I confused because you're out? But either way, it's not God. It's not God. If confusion is swirling, something needs to change. Whether it's your position or whether it's the voices you're listening to. Something needs to change. He is not the author of that. Watch out for distractions. You'll wear yourself out trying to do what you're not called to do. A smart enemy tactic would be to get you busy on something you're not called to and have your attention elsewhere. It makes total sense for the devil to dangle something beautiful in my face that I've wanted to do. But it's not my assignment. It's not my job. Why would he give me something that might seem better? Why would he give me something that may even make more of a name for myself? Why would the enemy do that? Why? Because if I'm not putting my hands and my feet to what God's called me to do, then I'm exactly where the enemy wants me. I may look one amazing way to the world, but over here on this whole wheel where I was supposed to go to Taco Bell that day and talk to that lady and love on that person or just buy that burrito and have it in my car for when I pass the next person, I don't know. I just got to listen as the days go. I got to listen as the moments happen. I don't know. But if I'm not doing that because I'm doing this, then I'm right where the enemy wants me. Watch out for distractions. Proverbs 4:25 says, look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on your assignment. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. He is doing everything he can. I've spoken on this before, but what does a roaring lion do when it's seeking whom it may devour? It sits and it just watches for the weak. It looks for the limp. That's what it does. It sits back. And it just watches all these gazelle, and it looks for the one that's a little bit slower. It looks for the one that's got this alcoholism. It looks for the one that's got the pornography. It looks for the one that's got this junk. It looks for the one that can't put the pills down. It looks for the one that's stuck in depression. It looks for those things. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, wake up. He's looking around for what he can do. He's looking around for what he can dangle in your face, because he would love to get your attention away from this. So he'll give you this with gold and riches all day long, because this over here is kingdom, and this over here stops him in his tracks. Is he going to be stopped in his tracks in the long run? Absolutely. But I want to be in God's tracks right now. I want to be kingdom advancing, not enemy advancing. So I want to be obedient now. Don't you? We have hope, though. James 4:7 says, so submit to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee. I don't know. Okay, he's dangling all these things in my face. So you're saying it's not going to be easy. Well, no, we're pretty sure it's not going to be easy. We can be confident of that. But the Bible says, if we submit to God, he will flee from me. Though that means me, even as a gazelle, I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. And the roaring lion runs away. He will flee from me. What would make him do that? Only one thing. The Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, who's inside of me. He will make the devil flee because of obedience, because I choose to submit. What is your call? What is your assignment? Do it. Somebody needs it. Somebody needs it. We need you to do your assignment. We need you to do your assignment, Elijah. We need you to go say the hard things. We need you to look for the widow. We need you to do that. We need you to just do your job. Don't know what your job is? Ask Jesus. He said he will always guide you. Most of us know what it is. Do it. Every day, ask yourself this. God, what do you want me to do for today? What do you want me to do today? Not my will, but your will. I have a plan. This is what I want. And let's line it up with yours, Jesus. This is what I was going to do today. This, and this. And he may say, well, that's good. Let's go with it. We'll see what happens. Good, let's go with it. Or that's kind of how worship is a lot of times. Well, I have a list. I've done before where I got up there without a list, because my list always changes, and that was the dumbest thing ever. He's like, you get through one song and it's like, okay, I don't know. So I make a list of 6 or 7 songs, and it never goes that way. Everyone on the worship team can attest to it, even tonight. Dad's like, yep, yep. That's just how it is. Why? Because my plans are there, but the Lord is going to make his adjustments. So I have my plan, but I let him make his adjustments. Because when I stay to my plan, it doesn't always go great. In fact, it never goes great when I don't do that. The same thing with our life. Have your plans. Be prepared. But be prepared for adjustments. Come on, let's stand up and pray. You know, Robin gave us a pretty good example tonight. She's given an assignment. And she prayed about it. Well, she made a plan first. She was like, no, this is my home. God, got my hopes all up. She said, this is my home. Then she submitted to God. And I know because of that, the enemy's going to flee. I'm serious. Because you submitted to God. He has to. And there's a peace with you going. That's how I know it's Jesus. There's no confusion. If you're Elijah today, be Elijah. Go where he told you to go. Do what he told you to do. If you're a raven today, be the raven. And deliver the food. Make preparations. But whatever he's asked you to do, just do it. Do your assignment. Do your job. It's so important today. We know what's going on. We hear revival is about to spring forth in this world, in this nation. We know it has to. It's rising. It already is. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Be prepared. Do your job. I guarantee you, he has an assignment for you. Each and every one of you. And it's important. It's necessary. A bird changed history because it was obedient to a commandment. Think about that. You're important as a child of God. Jesus, I thank you for assignments that you do release and ones that you have already released. So, Father, we speak right now to, first off, any confusion, we just tell it to go right now in the name of Jesus. That anyone may have over their call, over their life, over what choice to make next, any confusion, go right now in the name of Jesus. That is not you, God. You do not author that. Now, any call, assignment where there's fear that would be make it scared to take the next step, we tell that to go. And God, I thank you for courage in its place. I thank you for boldness in its place. Anybody that may be unsure of what you want them to do next, God, I thank you that you will speak. Even if that word is just wait and be patient where you are. Even if that's the word, God, I thank you that they'll know it because you will speak. Because you said, Jesus, you will always clearly direct us. And we trust you. God, I speak to those people that do their assignment. And they are walking in their call. And they're just waiting on the ravens to do their job and bring the food. I speak right now that the food would be brought. That provision would be made over the people that have chosen to go where you said to go. I thank you right now that provision is made. Clarity, Father, over each and every one of us here. Thank you for your goodness and that your desire for us is good things. Thank you, Father, that you desire to use us. Thank you that you desire to do things with us, that you desire to commune with us, that you desire to speak to us on a daily basis. Thank you, Father, that you desire to tell us where to go and what will be best and what will be bad. Thank you, Father, that we will just trust you. God, I choose to trust you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Bless them, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.